Good morning, everyone. Shall we stand together? Let's stand. We're going to worship God this morning. You know, if you're reading your Bible, some of you guys are following Bible in a year. And this morning, the passage was Psalm number 9. And it starts off Psalm 9 by saying this. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises, the praises of your name. So read it again. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, Most High. Can we say together, I will give thanks to you, Lord. I will give thanks to you, Lord. So to encourage you, for a moment, maybe just close your eyes or just reflect. There's some stuff this probably this week that you're grateful that God's done. You know, on Friendly Hour on Tuesday, I said reflect on 2023 and what good stuff happened in your life. And nearly every single testimony was some bad stuff that had happened, but God brought good out of it. And you might have had a bad week this week, but God might be bringing something good out of it. And there's a chance for you just reflect on that. For some of you, it's just even just being grateful for the food that you ate and the house that you've got or the family around you. But just spend a moment just saying thank you, God. And then the worship team are going to lead us in our first song. Cheers, Paul.
Rise with me, wait upon the Lord.
everlasting God. I just want us to start the service today. I'm going to invite Pastor Ravine up to lead us in prayer. And we want to pray. There's a few of you guys, some of you might be tired today. You might be struggling today. But you know, we've got people in our church who really need a touch from God at the moment. You want to keep praying for Andy Plant, who's currently undergoing stem cell treatment today. You want to pray that God strengthens him as he goes to this treatment. We want to keep praying for Julie as well, Twemlow, who's currently still going under a chemotherapy. We want to pray for Bill Holford's son as well, who's currently going through cancer treatment. And there's so many other people we need to pray for. So as we start today, I want to encourage you, you know, God is the God who can strengthen the weak. God is the God who can heal. And we're just going to pray for these folk, and we're also going to just pray for anyone else. If you need prayer today, you're struggling today, so I want to encourage you to say, God, please help that song be a reality in my life. Please help those verses be reality in my life. Thank you, Pastor Prem.
Thank you, Pastor. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 1 and 2 says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Let us close our eyes and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessed time, Lord. Lord, in this blessed day, what a great blessing it is to come together in your sanctuary, to praise your name. You are our stronghold. You are our fortress. You are our rock. You are our friend in need. Thank you for everything, Lord. We are submitting today's gathering into your hands, Lord. Lord, we are praising your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your mighty presence is covering this place. At the same time, we are praying for our dear brothers and sisters. They are struggling in this moment, Lord. We are praying for all the needy people, Lord. Lord, wherever they are in, Lord. Lord, we believe your right hand is moving for them, Lord. We are praying in unity. We believe in miracles. We believe in wonders. We believe in the touch of Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. This time, whomever is struggling mentally, physically, in this gathering, we are praying for them also, Lord. Lord, we would like to hear the new testimonies. Lord, we would like to hear the excited testimonies from them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be with us. All glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. All the church, will you please say amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Come to happen to you today.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we do. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord, that you never stop moving, Father God, but you're always there. And Lord, we thank you for that. In the good times and in the tough times, that you are still faithful. Amen. 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 Please take your seats for a moment. It's good to worship God, isn't it? It's good to have a warm church building today. We figured out what went wrong last week and we got it all rectified. So good. Just a few and a couple of announcements. Just if you want to grab one of these sheets, they're at the back. If you are not into using the internet, just let you know what's happening the next month or so. Just a few things to draw to your attention. The first one is this, is that on the 11th of February, we have our church AGM meeting. Exciting, isn't it? Okay. If you have any questions, can you email them to Malcolm? It's malcolm@cornerstoneelamchurch.co.uk. What we're asking people not to do is not use the WhatsApp or Messenger for messages, just because it gets a bit confusing. So anything, so email Malcolm. malcolm@cornerstoneelamchurch.co.uk. I know some people got through last week. Or you can write a letter to Malcolm, and he will sort you out. Malcolm, give everyone a wave, Malcolm. There we go, church secretary at the front here. So if you any of those, that's a way to do it for that meeting. Next week is our men's breakfast. It's going to be at Madeley at 9 o'clock next week. So John, give us a wave. John, Sherry, test me in a moment. If you want to come along, John will get you on the door. There's no escaping John anyway. So he is going to do what to call it. Going to have a chat about that, and he can tell you more information about what's going on there. And the final thing is this. Last year, we baptized 17 people. Isn't that great? And I know there's other people who started to ask me about baptism last year as well. So if you're one of the many, a few people who've spoken to me about baptism in the past, I know a few of you, I'll try and get you afterwards anyway. Come have a chat with myself or Pastor Praveen, because we're hoping in a few weeks' time to do our next baptism service as well. And it's great what God is doing in so many people's lives. Last thing, big thing for me to mention now, not big thing, but notice, is this. Part of our church, when you give your offerings in, we can claim our tax back on your offerings that come in. But you need to fill out a form, a gift aid declaration form. So we've done this really successfully in the 4 o'clock service, encouraging people to sign up for gift aid. It doesn't cost you a penny. Okay, it means if you're a taxpayer in the UK, so you're paying tax on your jobs. So if you're not working, don't fill one of these in. But every donation that you give, we can get 25p back for every pound that you give. So it's worth it. It's thousands of pounds comes back into the church, running of the church. So if you would like to fill one of these in, you can get a form at the back. There's this like a rack with different forms in. They're on there. And Kim, could you stand up for us? And you can give it to this lady over here who will sort you out, okay? And the best thing is you fill it out and then she will tell you what to do next and what to happen. But I really encourage you to do this because the government doesn't give you much free, does it? Okay, let's be real with everything that's going on. But that's just a great way of increasing your gifts. I had someone who once said to me, Pastor, you can take the gift aid, but just not on my tithe. I went, please, can I take it? But it just makes a big difference. So pick one of those forms up afterwards if you're newer to the church and sort it out with Kim. Anyone have any good news this week, Maria? Any exciting news? Do you want to share with anyone?
Well, I'm a nan this week, so that's the first for me. So baby and Alice doing well. Mabel Ray Twig. She was born on the 10th, £8. So thank you.
Fantastic. Very proud grandmother and great grandparents over here as well, Pastor Williams and Sue. That's incredible, isn't it? Babies keep coming along at the moment. That's all crazy. Pastor Reen, you've only got a couple of weeks left, haven't you? And he's got us number 6. Okay, on the way there. It's brilliant. Some are starting out, some are a bit further down. My wife has forbidden me from making any jokes about that, about her. Okay. Brilliant. We've got a couple of testimonies of what God's doing in people's lives. And I'm going to invite up Jill Foster. Jill, do you want to come on up? Let's give her a big welcome as she comes up and she's going to share her testimony this morning.
Good morning, church. Can I just say, for those that do not know me, we're coming here now about 34 years, with then who was my fairly new husband. His family came to this church. I used to go to the Church of England. And we used to visit all that time ago. And can I just say, because he's hid behind the sound desk, that should I waffle on, he has the power that no other husband in this place has got. He can switch me off. I did speak to Pastor Jim before Christmas, because I'd taken the decision to take my retirement a little bit earlier. I know I don't look that old, but thank you anyway. Not always easy, because we, you know, as all couples and families do, you've got your finances and everything, and you need to know everything's in place, don't you? But the thing was that when Tony's auntie died back some time ago when we moved to Woolstanton, although we went to my church that I went to and we visited here, Tony always felt there was something more here to set him up for the week. It took him through the week, whereas mine was Church of England, very set service. Great, I love it when you know when your prayer time is and you know when your singing time is and everything. And we came back, and one evening, sitting in church, and it's nice to know that I look around the church and there's so many people here that were there at that time. We've lost loved ones, but it's nice that those people are still there encouraging us. And we'd been going through a bit of a time where my jobs were up and down, redundancies and things like that. And we came to the church, and Tony says, can we not go to the church? So as a married couple, you make those decisions, don't you, that you need to do things for a reason. God knows there's a reason. So looking back to the 8th of February, 1998, and I was sitting round about here. And the good thing is that last week I'd prepared myself to do this. And because of communion and everything else, there wasn't the opportunity. And I looked up there and saw Isaiah. And I love the book of Isaiah, because one of the texts that was given to me that has taken me through these 20, 30 years is Isaiah 45. And it starts at verse 1. It says, this is what the Lord says to the anointed, to Cyrus. And I was taught at the time that you put your name in there. So whatever you're going through, this is for you. Whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord your God, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. That is one of the two texts that I have faithfully looked at, and this book that doesn't always come out because we've got digital working, that and Psalm 121. I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. So whatever's happened over the time, that's where I've gone to. Going back to the 8th of February 1998, not only was I here and Pastor Williams and hubby faithfully serving God, but there was another very handsome young man over here in the same position all those years ago. He can't remember what he did yesterday probably, but I can remember where he was on the 8th of February 1998, and he was there serving God. And all I can remember sitting in that seat with all these things going through my mind, and looking at these texts, and Pastor had been talking, was Paul's words as he sang. Step into the water and see. That's stayed with me for a long, long time and still does. And I think as a Christian sometimes, or a new beginner, a new person here, step into the water and see. From that moment on, my life did start to change. I was baptized the month after, in the March, here in the church. And I met a man that came before me, and through my life, this is how it's been. And he said, Jill, why don't you come back into social care? Because I'd gone into retail. And I said, well, they won't give you a chance when you've been in and out or you've been all over the place. They won't give you a chance. He says, if you need me, here's my phone number, give me a call. This gentleman at the time was my day service officer when I worked at the Priory in Newcastle. I little did I realise that he was then the manager of the day service. It didn't carry a lot of weight, so I still had to earn my place and everything else about it. But that person went before me. people will always be there. Whether it's been my working life or my church life, it's been so parallel. And when Pastor was talking last week about training, hopefully I've thrown myself into every bit of training there is with Staffordshire County Council. It was with a lot of sadness not walking away from the job that I left the people I supported, people with very complex needs, autism, learning disability and everything. But the good thing was that over the last few months, God has shown me that there was somebody waiting in the wings that's been able to take my place very quickly. She'll do a tremendous job. She's younger. I wouldn't say fitter than me, but she's younger than me. She's got the same ideals and the wishes for those people and the care, and she'll make sure that it happens, which I was beginning to falter a little bit with. When my care lead came up from Dorset, and she said to me, Jill, are you sure? You've been such a great advocate for the new building that we're going to have, not a mile away, up off St. Michael's Road, and see people settled in there. And I said, to be honest with you, I think I'm being told this is my time to step aside. Not step out, but to step aside. Sometimes we are taken to the edge of the promised land, but we're not always promised to go in. But what we have to do is train people to be there to do that job. And it's the same with the church. There are so many jobs in the church. And to end my testimony, I just hope that God knows what he's going to do with me next. I don't, because, you know, that has been made fruition to me yet. But I've got myself in training. I'm working out, trying to keep myself fit, trying to keep myself digitally knowledge, trying to keep myself where I need to be. But, as I say, looking around the church, whether it's in your private life, your home life, or your church life, look for your prayer warriors. Find your Bible text that will carry you through. There will be good times and there'll be bad times. But like with some of the things that I do, I was working with people that were non-verbal, but sometimes it was just that smile when you're doing something funny, that hello as you come through the door. There's so much more that we can do, and it doesn't cost us any money, any time, but I thank God for keeping me faithful. Thank you.
Tombera, can I invite you? Can I ask Tombera just to pray for Jill? Is that all right? Let's encourage all of us to stretch our hands out towards Jill. Let's pray for her as she steps into this new season. God's been incredibly faithful. She's been incredibly faithful to God as well. And let's just pray for her as she steps into this new season, that God continues to use her in incredible ways and in ways that she never imagined.
Let us pray. Father, we give you praise. We thank you because you knew such a day like this will come. Lord, we thank you for your daughter, Jill. We thank you, O God, for how far you have brought her. And we thank you for where you'll be taking her. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for using her to bless all those people. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in her life, at work, at home. Lord, we ask, O God, that even as she steps into a new phase, O God, that you will work with her. You will be that voice at the back of her ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. That even as she goes, O God, wherever she goes and whatever she does, O God, she will be blessed. Because it is the Lord who arms her with strength, and he will make your way, Jill, perfect. Lord, we thank you for all these years, O God, that you have used her. As she said, she's not stepping out, she's stepping aside. Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, King of glory, that you reveal yourself to her in a new way. You reveal yourself in a new dimension. You take her to new places, oh God, new heights that she has never known before. Lord, we thank you, oh God, even for Tony. Lord, we ask, oh God, that this new phase, oh God, that you will take them through in all that they do, that your name and your name alone will be glorified and will be magnified. We give you praise. We give you glory. We exalt your holy name in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jill. Give her a big clap. Thank you, bro. John, invite up John. He's going to share a testimony.
It's a morning, church. Morning, friends. Amen. It's surprising just listening to that, really. The answer comes in a verse. Anyway, my testimony. The theme of my testimony is how much the Lord loves us. We're so precious in His sight. And how much He desires to have a relationship with us. Amen. Last Tuesday, the 9th of January, I had to go for a referral for my eyes following a visit to the opticians for a vision checkup. As perhaps some of you know, last year I had surgery for cataract operations on both eyes. All went well, and it's only a 20-minute job anyway. My left eye's vision is now great, although they thought it might be problematic and I may need two operations. I had one, the surgeon sorted it, and I now in my left eye have got 20/20 vision. My right eye should have been routine. Anyway, it wasn't. I had a problem that was caused by a bleed and some swelling during the procedures, and while waiting, while I was waiting to go in for the surgery, I really felt the presence and reassurance of the Holy Spirit telling me, don't worry. And I didn't worry. Everything went fine. I felt so relaxed. The consultant, anyway, monitored me things for a while in my right eye, and I was discharged. So I went for a vision check last Tuesday, as I say, and the consultant at the referral confirmed the optician's view that in my right eye I've got a weakening of the optic nerve. And he's contacting the GP about my meds, and I may need an MRI scan. Okay, I felt okay about that as I walked home. But last Wednesday morning, the point I'm getting to, the day after, I woke up feeling really low. I was really brassed, you know, about the scan, about whether I could drive, everything, you know. Oh, blimey, you know. Everything I'd had enough. Life, you know. I think I was in a sort of delayed shock. Never take your health for granted. Enough of us know that, don't we? Anyway, Tricia left for work. I saw her off to work. I went back to bed, which I don't normally do, and woke up about 11-ish, feeling, you know, still felt brassed off and fed up, as you do at times. But about 1:30, as usual, I looked at the day's YouVersion verse in the voice version, Isaiah 60, verse 1. And it said, the answer is in the verse. The verse said, arise, shine, for your light has broken through. The Eternal One's brilliance has dawned upon you. Amen. And bang, my spirit soared. I was beaming all of a sudden. Bang. Then I followed up with Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. And then 2 Corinthians 4:16, which I'll just read. Just give us a sec. So we have no reason to despair, despite the fact that our outer humanity is falling apart and decaying. Our inner humanity is breathing in new life every day. You see, the short-lived pains of this life are creating for us an eternal glory that does not compare to anything we know here. So we do not set our eyes on the things we can see with our eyes. All of that is fleeting. It will eventually fade away. Instead, we focus on the things we can't see, which live on and on. Amen. We mustn't forget, I mustn't forget, what God's done in the past, and for me he's done so, so much. And I journal a lot. So when I woke up on Wednesday, he knew exactly how I was feeling. And he came with exactly the right message at the right time. Every verse spoke to me. It was verse after verse after verse. I'm so blessed. We're so blessed. We're loved by a Father who knows every breath and heartbeat. I have nothing to fear for the future. He's my God, my Saviour, and I give him all the praise and glory for all he has done and will do. Amen, amen, amen. Just like a parent, a dad who naturally knows if a child has a problem, it's unsettled, he sees to it. It tells me, and all of us really, never take your eyes off the Lord. As the chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Thanks very much.
Should we pray for John then? As he keeps going in these tests and the different treatments for, let's just pray that God continues to work in his life. Lord, we pray for John's eyes, Lord. We pray for his sight, Lord. You know exactly what's going on in there, Lord. And Father God, we pray as the doctors seek the right treatment for him to go forward, Lord. We pray they give him the perfect treatment, Lord. We pray, Father God, as he keeps looking to you, that you bring healing to his eyes, Father God, whether it's supernatural or through the doctors, Lord. We pray that in your precious name, Lord. And we pray that you will continue to speak to him, continue to show yourself to him, Lord, and continue to encourage him. We pray that in your precious name. Amen. 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 Shall we stand together for a moment? We're going to worship God. I just want to encourage you, you know, both those testimonies, they both had verses where God spoke to them, where God encouraged them in their situations. And I don't know what your situation's like today, what you guys are going through exactly right now. Some of you might resonate with John. You might be brassed off today and really angry about stuff. You might be annoyed by things that are happening. But now's the chance just to say, God, will you speak to me? Lord, will you speak to me? Through the service, Lord, the rest of the day, through the Bible, through the songs, whatever it is today, Lord, will you speak to me? Will you encourage me today? Let's worship him.
I'm not afraid to die. chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains on everyone. Amazing grace.
My chains are gone.
That we can worship you this morning. Lord, we thank you that it's all about you. Lord, we thank you for those stories about how you spoke into people's situations, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And Lord, the word says that I'm sorry. And Lord, I know for myself, Lord, and for us here, Lord, we're sorry when we've made it not about you, Lord. But maybe times in the past week we've forgotten about you. Maybe when we face situations and we haven't looked to you, but you've looked to ourselves, to other people, Lord, we just say sorry. And Lord, we just say we're coming back to you today, Lord. Coming back to you. Maybe for some of you, those words just resonate with you. Maybe the past week has just been a little bit of obsessed by other stuff. And there was once a time when I was younger, I was about 19, and I went to a service. And I realized the whole week I'd neglected God because I'd been playing a computer game. Some of you might have been something else that's just taken everything, and you just, now's a chance for you just to come back before God. Say, God, I'm coming back to you this morning. Maybe circumstances have overtaken you and you're just coming back to God now and saying, God, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. moment, just use your own words, just exalt him. Lift him up with your praise. Yes, Jesus. Just say thank you. Thank you for your presence among us, Lord. And Lord, thank you that you're amazing. Lord, we do say we love you. We do say we exalt you, Lord. We worship you because of who you are. Amen. 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 It's good to worship him, isn't it? Really is really good to worship him. Well, the kids are going to head out in their directions now. So under fives preschoolers, you can head out in that direction out here, this door and up some stairs. Primary school kids head out this way and up some stairs. So you follow the crowds. And the youth are heading out the back and they're meeting at the back for us to share there. So different directions, different places. Brilliant. Sure, I'm all on and working. Brilliant. I want to talk today. We're going to continue looking at our theme for this year, which is enlarge the place of your tent. And we're not just, sometimes we look at this verse when it's used in church, it's about wanting bigger churches, but actually it's about growing our capacity as Christians and growing in our faith. And I want to talk about looking at humility. You know, humility is one of those things. We all think we're humble. And if you think you're really humble, chances are you're not humble. Okay, and if you think you aren't humble, probably you are more humble than you think you are. But have you ever noticed the difference between cultures and the way they view success? One thing that really strikes me is this year is apparently going to be the year of elections, the most elections that have ever happened in human history at the same time across countries are happening this year. Did anyone know that? Nearly every week there's other elections. We're going to have an election hopefully in the UK, in America, all over Europe. It's all happening this year. And in the USA, there seems to be this thing that if you are a successful business person, you do really well, you sort of achieve stuff, you make money, they look up at you and they say, wow, he is successful. We want him to be our leader. Then we have the UK. We're a little bit different here, aren't we? So if we have someone successful in charge, you go, oh, how did he get his money? He must be dodgy, or there's something else going on there. I ain't being told what to do by a rich person. I don't care how successful is he. Did anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's the way, different ways of success stories. And I know different cultures around the world all look at things differently the way it is. So we got the Americas celebrating success, and the more you say how successful you are, the more they go, brilliant. Then the UK, where if you're successful, you try and pretend you're not as successful. And England, you always say, well, I've done all right, but yeah, it's only because of this reason. And we try and justify it. And I think in life, probably we need to be in the middle, if I'm really honest with you. It's not how successful we appear in the worldly sense, but I believe success for us should be how humble we are. Because you can be successful and you can be humble, and you can be unsuccessful and you can be arrogant. And our church vision this year is to enlarge the place of our tent, to stretch, to lengthen, to strengthen. And I'm very conscious as Christians, as we seek to see those things happen in our life, we have to do it with humility. We mustn't do it with wrong motives. You know, we can seek for our faith to grow so that we can look better than the other Christians who are sitting around us. But that's the wrong motive. We can seek for God to give us a better house or for a better job for genuine motives, Or we could seek those things because we just want to look better than other people. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we have this in life. And as a church, we can want the church to grow spiritually, numerically with its impact, so that we can say we're part of a good church, or we can want those things to see the church grow spiritually, numerically, and its impact, because we want to see more people transformed by Jesus. Our motives and our humility is so important in our life. And how we approach the Bible view of growth, how we approach the Bible is really important as well. If we grow with wrong motives, we grow the wrong things. And if we grow things that are wrong, we can often grow things that are diseased and unhealthy if we haven't got the right motives under it all. And I believe as a church that God wants to use us in incredible ways. I believe as individuals that God wants to use you in ways that are more than you could possibly imagine. I believe God wants to use me. But I believe that a huge block in God using us is often rooted in humility and pride. I shared the story a few years ago. I was a young pastor just taking over Burslem, and I did this thing where I read the Old Testament and the New Testament. And literally for 2 weeks, nearly every single day, the passages I was reading in the New Testament and the passages I was reading in the Old Testament, they were about pride. And I remember myself in that moment going, this is interesting, it overlaps, but at least I haven't got this issue, so I'm okay. And I ignored it. And the following day, it came up again. The following day, it came up again. And in the end, it was amazing how God highlighted areas of my life that I didn't think I was full of pride, but actually I was full of pride and the things that were going on. And pride affects our lives more than you can imagine. I remember Naomi reading a book years ago, and it was about parenting. And the book said this, be careful when you discipline your child that you're not disciplining them out of pride. Because how many times have you told your kids off because they shamed you in front of someone else or said something, and you're really irritated at your kids because they misbehaved in front of that one family member who you know will gossip in front of everyone else. And because they did it, you're like, I can't believe you did that to me. And you get so angry. And the reason is, you're not actually angry because what they did was quite funny, but they did it in front of that person. Happens loads, doesn't it? You get angry at work because someone shames you or says something about you in front of someone else, and maybe it was true, but you're angry because your pride has been hurt. And this is why I believe it's so important for us as Christians to deal with this and to actually say, God, you know what? Help me with it. So let's go to the question, what is humility? I love this quote from an American pastor, Aaron McManus. He says this, humility begins by emptying ourselves of ourselves. It's about coming to God with an agenda and reservation. If you're relating to God through negotiations, you have not found the path to humility. I love that definition. I love that thought of it. You know, the dictionary definition of pride is this, of humility is this, sorry. It says, the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. And I don't like that definition, if I'm honest with you. Because I don't think humility is about thinking of yourself as rubbish or having a low view of yourself, as much as humility is actually having a right view of yourself and actually seeing yourself for who you are. The problem is, I think most of us struggle at some level, as I said, with our pride. We can try to justify it, and we don't think it affects us, but I think it does. And a sign of humility for me is being able to celebrate others and their successes even when the things that are happening to them aren't happening to us and we really want them to happen to us. On the flip side, we have humility, but we also have false humility. And false humility is when we're pretending that we're humble, pretending, whether it's intentional or not, that we are somehow humble, and then, but we have ulterior motives. You know what I'm talking about? When the person at work goes, oh, I'm not very good at doing it. Oh, I'm rubbish at this, when they're really, really good at it. And they pretend to be bad at something or pretend to be humble when they're not, because they're trying to get up in the workplace or in the wherever other situation it is. And then when someone, you help someone out, not because it's the right thing to do, but because you don't want to look bad if you don't help them. Sometimes we act out of pride rather than to do something because it's the right thing. You know, there's times when you know you don't want to do something and you sort of do it and everyone thinks you're a marvelous person and the only reason you did it was so that you don't look bad. Do you know what I'm talking about? Your situations where maybe you wouldn't have helped that person because you're running really, really late. I often talk about it, you know, when I'm walking around, when I haven't done a funeral and I've got my dog collar on, I'm really conscious that I've got to be so much nicer when I've got my dog collar on because people know what my job is and they might judge me. So I sort of do it. Suddenly I'm the nicest person in the traffic. I let everybody out. I'm like, God bless you, my child. As they're going around there, when I'm not doing that, I'm like, what the frick do you think you're doing? And I'm screaming. I did that once when I was coming to Kelly's wedding, actually. And I just dropped off Bethany at dance and this taxi driver cut me up. And I started screaming at him and I realized I was in my dog collar. And I thought, Jim, that's not a good witness for Christ. And sometimes though we can pretend just because of what situations we're in. But that's not the place that we need to be. We need to have a genuine humility in our lives. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 says this. Therefore, if I have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if anything common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, valuing others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ. If you read on the passage, and I encourage you to read at home later, Paul goes on to list the qualities of Christ, the qualities of Jesus. And he said this, he's incredible, he's God, he does all these things, but he remains humble. He's the one person who could be arrogant, but he chose not to be arrogant. And we're called to follow Jesus, to work out the process of genuine humility in the same way that Jesus had genuine humility. You know, how can we operate as a church with genuine humility is a question I always ask myself. How can we operate as Christians, not demanding our own way, but following God, following his guidance and his direction? 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 5 to 6 says this. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Humility is important, isn't it? It's something that we really need in our lives. And I love verse 6 here, where it says, humble yourself under God's hand so he will lift you up. He will honor you. He is the one who can lift you up. He is the one who can give you honor. Sometimes we try and perform and make ourselves look better than we are, but it's rubbish. I remember when I was younger, someone once told me this. They said, Jim, you need to push yourself a little bit more. Push yourself. I said, great. I'll push myself. He said, make everyone know your qualities and your skills. I did it in the next meeting that I went into. I looked a complete prat when I was trying to list it out and make myself better. And I've worked out in life, it's not my job is to go and make myself look better. My job is to let God lift me up and do the best of who I am. Now, hopefully I can explain this concept really simply for us today. But there's a leadership lady called Karen Gordon, and she speaks about three chairs. And she says this, she says on one side, you have the chair people can sit in. And that chair is the chair of insecurity. The chairs where you think that you're rubbish at everything. the chair where you look at your weaknesses all the time and you like, oh, I'm a terrible person, I'm awful, I'm this and that, and you're there, and that weakness, that insecurity you have, affects your relationship with other people. Now, a lot of us have been there, a lot of us might know people who were there. But when you're insecure, you don't like when other people do really well because you haven't done really well. And you feel a little bit like, God, why haven't you used me? Why haven't you blessed me? You could be looking at your workplace, why hasn't my boss spotted me? And you feel really insecure, and it really affects you. And you can look humble, but you're humble because you're insecure, not because you're truly humble. Then on the other side, you have the arrogant people. We all know these, don't we? When I was at college, with someone who genuinely, we're just out of Bible college. He was an all right preacher. And he turned around to me and he went, Jim, do you know what? I really do think I'm probably in the top 5 speakers in Elam. I went, what? He said, I do. He said, I've listened to all these other preachers. He said, they're rubbish. He said, I really do think that I'm like God's gift. And I think when he came out of college, I think his aim was to become senior leader of Kensington Temple, the largest Elam church. That was his target. Just so like way away from the world. And you've met that. I've been a little bit like that at times. I'm sure you've all been there at times as well. And that's not the attitude to have. And what Karen Gordon suggests is this. We need to be in the middle here, where we're aware of our weaknesses. We know where our weaknesses are in life. We're aware of them. We're working on them. We're trying to become everything Christ wants for us. But in our humility, we know where our strengths are, but we're not insecure, and at the same time, we're not arrogant. And it's a really, really hard place to sit in. We need to sit in the middle chair, authentically following the plans and the gifts that we have in our lives. You know, for me, humility is about following Jesus and being secure in him, whilst at the same time, being aware of our weaknesses and working on them, whilst constantly saying to God, I'm following your ways, even when I don't understand them. It's sitting in this middle chair. And I just want us just to spend a moment here just exploring some things of how we can work on this. And the first thing that we can do is this, is to live out your calling. Be all you're designed to be. Can we say this together? Live out your calling. Be all you're designed to be. There's a story of an old rabbi called Rabbi Zusa. And when he was getting old, he said this. He said, in the coming world, they will not ask me, why weren't you more like Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zusa? They will ask him in the coming world, they will not ask me, why were you more like Moses? They will ask me, why were you not like Zusa? It's a challenging thing, isn't it? So much so we want to be like other people. Remember when I was a kid, my dream was to be a professional footballer. My dream was to play for Hereford United, get Hereford United into the Premiership, win the Champions League with Hereford United, and then join Blackburn Rovers, okay, and help Blackburn Rovers win the Champions League. That was my idea in life, okay? In fact, so much so that me and my friends, we worked out that we would still be playing at the same time David Beckham was playing, and we were looking forward to playing with David Beckham. Problem is, I can't play football. And if I wanted to be I played rugby in the end, because all I had to do in rugby was thump someone on the pitch, okay? It was easy. I could do that. I was a big lump. I could take it through. And you know, we're not called to be the same as anyone else. When you start wanting to be someone else or live someone else's calling, you start comparing yourself with that person, and you start not having being humble because you want to be like them. And then when they achieve more than you achieve in that area, you get really annoyed because God hasn't used you. And God wants to say to you, but I didn't want you to do that. You need to be who you are. You know, in Romans 12, verse 6 to 8, in Corinthians chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4, there is lists of different gifts that God gives. It's a huge list. None of those gifts are the same. They're all different. Why? Because God calls us all differently. Each person has a different blend of gifts. Each person has a different style of doing things. And God has called you. You know, our theme this year is to expand our tent, to stretch and to grow and to strengthen our spiritual walk, our church, and have greater impact. But this only happens when you live out your calling of who God has called you to be. To do that, you need humility. I'm a big believer in encouraging people to become all they need to be, but sometimes we can be a bit stupid, can't we, about it? You know when you've got a kid who comes up to you who's completely tone deaf, no music, and they say, I want to be the next, I don't know who the latest singer is nowadays, okay, they want to be the next singer. I want to be Britney Spears, that's when I was younger, okay, and she's out of fashion now. And you go out and go, you know what, love, you can be anything you want to be. I'm like, don't encourage her to be a singer. She'll deafen us all. Okay. Encourage people in the right ways and their talents and their gifts and their abilities to become all they can be. You know what? If I have my limitations, I am really dyslexic. The other day, I sent Kim a picture for the advert for a church thing. And I said, can you spot my deliberate mistake? She messaged back saying, are you being serious or not? I honestly didn't think there was a mistake on that one. And she found two of them. So for me, and my calling in life is not to be an editor of a book because I can't spot any spelling mistakes or grammatical mistakes. It's not in my gift. You know, God has called you with your gifts and your blends to achieve everything he wants you to achieve, to be the best of who you can be. But the best of who you can be is you. It's not anyone else. Guys, humility is knowing what God has called you to do and doing it faithfully. Doing it faithfully. It doesn't mean because you got a different calling from someone else that your calling is any less important. It just means it's different. I quoted Martin Luther King last week, who says, if you're called to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper you can possibly be. So all of heaven pauses and looks down and says, wow, look at that street sweeper. We're called to live your best life. And it's a challenge because we often compare ourselves with other people. But that's not humility, that's jealousy. We're called not to be other people, but to be ourselves. I love this quote by Randy Clark, American revivalist, and he says this, revival is not just about power or primarily about power. More importantly, it's about love and humility. Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever it takes to break us of our pride, our need to control, our self-seeking motives in ministry? Are we desperate enough for God to let him completely have his way in us? Guys, God's created you for a reason. He's created you with a purpose to be you. You've got to allow him to allow you to be you. You know, the disciple Peter, who wrote those verses about humility, he was the one who went from telling Jesus what to do. When Jesus says, I'm going to die on the cross, he goes, no, you're not. When they came to arrest Jesus, take him to the cross, he chopped someone's ear off because he didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. He tried to control things. He tried to control situations. But after being broken when Jesus died, he came out the other side and Jesus restored him. And Peter became the man who God had called him to be. Peter became the man who Jesus says, I will build my church upon this rock. You know, I want to encourage you, stop trying to be somebody else. Say to the person next to you, stop trying to be someone else. And you might say, well, I'm never trying to be anyone else. Yeah, I don't believe you. Okay, we all have those. Be who Christ has called you to be. That's the first step of humility. And it might be different from someone else, but it's embracing that. And it's embracing what Christ has called you to do. The next thing is this. Have the right motives. Do things for the correct reason. This is going to sound really obvious. And like for some of you, this is telling you to suck eggs, okay? You know this. We all know this, but we kind of know we get this wrong most of the time. Now, Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 5. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And the Pharisees, they loved walking around, these Jewish teachers. And they were like, oh, I'm better than everyone else. And they sat there praying on the street corners and saying, I'm fasting. And oh, God, you're amazing. All this in the street corners. But behind the scenes, they weren't doing any of it. All of it was for show. It was for completely the wrong motives. And this is important for us to get here. Because sometimes we do, actually quite often, if I'm really honest, I think, we can do things for the wrong motives, for the wrong reasons, to try and manipulate situations. You may not like the word manipulate, but we kind of do it to get what we want. Especially as Christians in church. We need to keep checking our motives about why we want to reach more people for God. It's not, we don't want to reach more people to come to church so that we can look good. It's because we want people to experience the same life-giving power that we have been transformed ourselves. If you want to have a bigger influence at work, what is your motive? Is it because you want to make a difference or excel? Or is it because you want to stop someone else getting a job? You know, years ago, I remember there was a ministry role going somewhere, and Pastor Edwin goes to me, Jim, I really want you to get that role. I said, why do you really want me to get that role? He says, because an idiot might get the role, and I prefer you to be the idiot who gets the role than someone else to get the role. I'm like, thanks. Great wisdom, Pastor. Okay, so what is this meeting? And it was a worst meeting. Naomi goes, you didn't do this. And I was like, I really don't want to do this role. Okay, but Pastor Edmonds told me to do it, and I'm respecting my senior minister. So the guys went in there, and they went, started off, and we had this conversation. The other guy who was in there said, well, it's got to be one of you two who does the job. And I was like, okay. And then he said, which one of you wants to do the job? And the other person did the right thing. They went really humbly. I'll do it. I think Jim would be the really good person to do it, even though I know they really wanted that job. And I just went, yeah, I'll do it. Okay, and kept going rather than give humility back. And Amy goes, you didn't do that, did you? You were supposed to say you could do the job just as well as me. I said, no, that's just like fake humility. I hated the job. Absolutely hated it. When eventually it disappeared off me, I was like, praise God, yes, this is amazing. You know, we got to have the right motives for doing something. When you go somewhere because of the right motives, it makes all the difference of where you go, of what you do. In work, having the right motives is important. Don't try and get promotion because you want to stop someone else getting that promotion because you know how terrible they do the job. Because you'll end up hating the job. In the local church, don't do something because you want to stop someone else doing it. Don't be sort of pushed by your own agendas, but be humble. Do things for the right reasons. Because in the end, what's under the surface will come out. Nikki Gumbel, one of my heroes who did start the Alpha Course, says this: you can teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And if you don't have humility in your life, when the stuff you reproduce won't have humility on it, if you've got the wrong motives, that stuff will come out and show itself. As Christians, as a church, we produce fruit. And what we put in is what we get out. When our motives are good, when we're in a place of humility, things are great. But when our motives are wrong, when we have insecurities, hurt, or arrogance, then what happens is the wrong stuff comes out. People often say healthy things grow, but also unhealthy things grow as well. If you ever had mold on your windowsills, especially when you're cutting the energy costs down, you know what I'm talking about. I discovered this the other day in my personal devotions. I'm reading a book by Pete Scazzaro, and he said this: What is the deeper, often unconscious motive behind my visions and dreams? When I saw that question, I was like, you know, when it sort of stabs you in the heart, what is the motives behind everything you want to see in life? Do you want your kid to get into the good school because you want your kid to have a really good education, or because you want to catch up with all your friends and your friends' kids are going to the good schools? What is your motives? Now, I believe that God wants to enlarge us. I believe God wants to strengthen us. I believe God wants to stretch us. But right from the beginning of time, when we look at Genesis, he gave us a blank canvas of a world to be creative, to build something incredible. He said, rule over the world, look after it, have kids, build something incredible. It was us humans who started messing things up. It was us humans who tried to do things differently. But when Jesus came to earth, he came to build a relationship with us. He came to help us to build something incredible. He came to ask us to help with him to build his kingdom here on earth. But without humility, we can't see the church go forward. Without humility, your relationship with Christ won't grow. I love what Harry Truman, a former US president, said this. It's amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. It's true, isn't it? But what's the thing that gets in the way? Our pride. We can achieve more as a church. We can achieve more as individuals if we have humility in our lives and seek humility in our lives than just going through the motions. Imagine your life. Imagine your life just for a moment. Maybe close your eyes. Imagine you achieving everything you wanted to achieve. All the dreams you have in your heart, the right dreams of the right motives, not just because you want to get your mate out of a job. Whatever it is, imagine that. Imagine your life where you weren't jealous of others, where you weren't trying to prove something all the time. What would that look like? I believe it starts with humility. Imagine a church where we all sat in the middle chair, where we all knew our weaknesses and limitations, where we embraced our calling, where we encouraged each other, where we have pure motives, not driven by past hurts and agendas, whether conscious or not. Imagine what that would be like. Sounds like heaven to me. Heaven come to earth. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. It's about bringing heaven to earth. And it all starts with humility. Guys, this year, we want to pray this verse over ourselves, over our church, that God will enlarge the place of your tent, that God will stretch wide your curtains. And God won't hold but to be over. Guys, stretch wide the curtain to not hold back, lengthen your cords, and God will strengthen your stakes. But it's only going to happen if we start by being humble before God. Can we stand together? Just want us to maybe just pause a moment, just to come before God. I don't know, you guys may be, you might be saying, Jim, I'm okay today, which is brilliant. And I'm glad for that. But maybe you've got a bit of pride in your life. There may be insecurities in your life still. And there's areas of your life where are just so insecure. When people are celebrating certain things, you just, oh, you're like, no, I can't celebrate with them. It feels so hard. Maybe you've been a bit arrogant about stuff. It's a chance just between you and God right now. Not me to say anything, just between you and God. To come before him and say, God, I'm sorry. It's about checking out if your insecurities, it's about maybe speaking to a friend and saying, can you help me to see, to become the person God has created me to be? Can you help me to stop comparing? Can you challenge me? Some of you just need to be reminded today that God created you the way that you are. He knitted you together. He knew where you'd be. He knew how you'd be. And he created you with a purpose. For some of us, you know, maybe you're going on social media and you're just comparing your life with other people. And you just feel like a failure. You just need to be reminded today that you're not a failure. You get things wrong, but you're not a failure. And it's a chance to come before God and say, God, please. Help me to sit in that middle chair. Help me to know my weaknesses. but still move on in you. Help me to know my calling for you. Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just pray. We welcome you in here right now. We welcome you into this moment. We say, touch hearts. Touch lives. Lord, I pray for anyone who's been challenged today, Lord, or maybe comforted today, Jesus. Will you just speak to them right now, Lord? Will your presence just descend on them right now? Will you fill them? Will you encourage them? Will you challenge them, Lord? Just a couple of sensings, just the first sense quickly, just the things that might, God may be just speaking to someone. And if it's you, come find me or Pastor Praveen afterwards. But there's someone here, really just a strong feeling that maybe you're getting so, as a work colleague, and as you as I spoke there, you are getting really angry. I'm not talking about being a bit irritated, but it's really made you angry because you feel you're better than this person. And it's made you very angry what's happened in your workplace. And it's really chewing up, and it's affecting your mental health now. And as the words of those words, you're like, oh, that's me. That's me. And it's really affecting your whole life. I just want to encourage you after the service. Don't want to bring you to the front, that one. Come find me at Pastor Green. We just want to pray with you. Pray God's humility and patience into your life. Lord, we just pray for whoever that person is, Lord. That you will help them to show humility in their lives, Jesus. We're going to worship now. We're going to sing our next song. And as we do this, if you're still praying and you still want to come before God, just encourage you to keep coming before God. Keep praying. We're going to take up our offerings as well as we do this. But if anything I've spoken to you today has touched your hearts, I just want to encourage you, come have a chat with us afterwards. We'd love to pray with you.
Oh,
Guys, have a great week, whatever you're doing. Make sure you can grab a cup of tea and coffee and a biscuit and join with us over there. Great time of fellowship together. But yeah, have an exciting week, whatever you've got planned this week. God bless.